Well, good morning. I'm so glad that you guys are here today and that we get to just be together as the family of God in this place. It's a really special day. It's Senior Sunday, and so in a few moments, we will we'll honor our senior class and have a chance to kind of gather around these families and just celebrate and rejoice with them during this really, really special and significant time in their lives. Before we get started, I have a question. I know we have some kids in the room and some young families and obviously some students here, and I'm just curious to know, do any of you, and just raise your hand if you do, any of you have like aquariums with fish in them in your houses? Maybe just show of hands. Who has any fish in the room? Okay, good. This is good to know. I'm going to tell you something about myself that's going to make you look at me differently, so I want to just on the outset kind of give a disclaimer about that and apologize on the front end. When I was a kid, I had an aquarium in my room, and I had fish and that whole nine yards, and I could not, I mean, I tried. Don't think it was for lack of trying. I could not keep fish alive, all right? I mean, they always died. I mean, I'd come in my room, and there they were floating at the top again. I don't know what I did. I don't know what the problem was, but it was crazy. And for me as a kid, like, I took this very personally. Like, I mean, it was like a funeral in our home whenever it happened, because I just walk around, you know, there was weeping and gnashing, and it was just terrible. I took it so hard. And then one day I walked in to my room, and sure enough, there it was, one of my favorite fish, you know, floating at the top, upside down in my aquarium. So I got the little net, and I scooped him out, and took him over to the bathroom to bury him in his watery grave, and I dropped him in the toilet there, and I don't know what was in that water, but that fish came back to life. It was crazy. And like I lost all sense of where I was or what I was doing. I dove in with both hands into that toilet trying to rescue that stupid fish, and I couldn't, I don't know what was going on. I couldn't catch him. I couldn't grab him. He was slippery and fast and kind of small. And eventually, I was trying to rescue this fish and bring him back to life, and he swam down to certain death, and who knows what else. And it was terrible. It crushed me. Like, I was crushed once, and then the second time in a row, I was devastated. And this fish would ignore my attempts to save it and to help it, and instead it would swam down, and it died a horrible, miserable, smelly death. Well, I want you to hang on to that thought. I know that's a really weird thought to hang on to, but hang on to that idea and that thought of fish and death and life and all that. And just let me push pause for a second on that and come over here with me. I believe, all right, let me say this way. I have a deep desire, right, for our students, and I think this is probably true of the leaders of this church, for all of us in the room, to have or to be modern-day disciples of Jesus of Nazareth, and to follow hard after God. And as we prepared for Senior Sunday, one question I asked our seniors kind of on camera, and they didn't even know it was coming. I just wanted to kind of prompt them with this question. I asked them, what does it mean to you to follow after Jesus? And so I want to take a minute and just let you hear in their words how they responded to that question. Watch this.
To be a follower of Jesus, to me, that means every day you have to wake up every morning and you have to have Jesus on your mind, and you have to be intentional in everything that you do, and you need to be very focused, and you need to go throughout the day just constantly talking with God and being reminded that life is not about yourself and it's about the people around you and to serve them and to love on them.
It definitely means a lot to me. Because, you know, you go through hard times, and Jesus is always there.
I think it means a lot of things. I think really living that daily Christian life, truly being the Word of God as much as you can, not just loving God, but loving others in that Christ-like way, and sharing the gospel with whoever you can, just because you're a Christian. It's not just because it's a Christian thing to do, but because you're passionate about it and doing things for passion rather than doing them just for your religion, your faith.
To me, it means loving people no matter what. It means like treating others how you want to be treated and being not focusing on the negative, just focusing on the positive and doing whatever you can to help others.
Christ was perfect. Be Christ-like, though. You know, try to be accepting of people and try to be as nice as you can to people. You know, like you said, turn the other cheek. You know, if you're trying to really get through to somebody and, you know, get them to be a Christian or something, you really want to like put up with them. You know, you be as Christ-like as you can to those people, or just anybody in general. Really, be like that your whole life. So,
I think to me it means you have to have a relationship with them first of all, and it's loving His people. I think it's not just, you know, praying and going to church, and it's really being Jesus to other people and being Jesus and being the light to the community around us.
I love hearing our students talk about what it means to them to follow after Jesus. As Jesus' ministry began, there were men and women who were following Him, right? They wanted Him to be their rabbi, their teacher, and they wanted to be like Him and learn what it was to know Him, because they believed, like we believe, that He was the Messiah, right? And they were following hard after Jesus. And I want you, if you have your Bibles, to open up to Luke 7. There's a story here that unfolds as these people, these men and women and these disciples are following after Jesus, that I want you to see what happens in this story. It's a really powerful text. It comes from Luke 7, and we'll pick up the story in verse 11. And it goes like this. A little later, Jesus went to a city called Nain. Now, if you don't know Nain, you probably don't, but that's about 6 miles outside of Nazareth. So this is really close to where Jesus grew up. His disciples and a great crowd traveled with Him. As He approached the city gate, a dead man was being carried out. He was His mother's only son, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the city was with her. So I want you to see what happens here, all right? There's this large group of people, this crowd of men and women, the disciples of Jesus who are following after Jesus, right? They're following Him all the way into town, all the way into Nain, and they're following Jesus, who is light, who is life. And then you have this crowd over here, and they're following in this funeral procession, if you will, right? Following this woman, there's weeping, and there's crying, and there's sorrow, and there's pain, and there's death, and they're following the coffin. They're following death. And these two crowds come, and they meet in the middle, life on one side and death on the other. And look, let's see what happens next. When Jesus saw this woman, the Lord had compassion for her. Another translation says, His heart broke for her. And He said, "Don't cry." Don't you love this about Jesus? I mean, I want to kind of just take a little time out here. This isn't the message today, and this isn't even the point, but I think this is powerful. And when Jesus saw this woman, He saw her pain. He saw her sorrow. Luke says His heart was full of compassion for her. His heart broke for her. And I think there's a word there for us today, church. Because I know even from this past week, there have been situations in this faith family where there's been hardship, and there's been pain, and there's been difficulty. And there's a reminder, because sometimes when tragedy strikes and hard times come, We want to ask God why and where are you, and God is big enough to handle those questions. I have no doubt about that. I'm not even worried about that. What I want to remind you of, and the simple truth of it is that when your heart is hurting, His heart is breaking, right? Jesus is with you. We sang it earlier. You are never alone. I think there's power in that for us, you know? I mean, this is who God is. This is His name, Emmanuel, God with us. He is with us, and when you are struggling, His heart is full of compassion for you, and He is with you, and He hears your pain, and He knows your problems, and He is present. And I think about this all the time when it happens in my life, when it happens in people's lives that I know, when you go through difficult times. We always come back to the same conversation, like this is really difficult, and we don't have all the answers, but we don't know how people who don't know the Lord do this, right? I mean, if you don't know Jesus and you don't have the people of Jesus coming around you to encourage you and give you hope and support you, I don't know how you wake up. And that's the hope. I mean, that is who Jesus is. That's the hope that we have. I think there's power in that. Amen? Man. So the story goes on. And it says, He stepped forward and He touched the stretcher. He broke all the rules. He touched the stretcher which the dead man was being carried. And those carrying Him stood still. And Jesus said, "Young man, I say to you, arise, arise from death." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Awestruck, everyone praised God. Now, before I even read the story, you probably had read it before and you knew what was going to happen. And if you didn't, you could probably already assume the ending, is that when Jesus comes in contact with this woman who is hurting, who is facing really hopelessness and homelessness because this boy, she's a widow, she has no husband. This is her only son, the Bible says, and he just died. So in their day and time, in their economy, she's without really any hope of the future, right? I mean, she's facing hopelessness and homelessness because there's no one left to sustain her and to provide for her. And you can I can guarantee you in that moment, she was weeping for her son. Oh, for the loss of her son, she was grieving deeply. But she was also grieving for her future and the uncertainty of the next day and the next week and the next year. What was going to happen? She had no idea, right? And Jesus steps into the moment, and before I even read the story, you knew how it was going to end. Jesus is going to raise this man from death back to life. But I want to step into the middle of that, and I just want to ask a question. And I can't really prove this. This is a what if, so just go with me here for a minute. I want you to imagine the situation. Because I really believe that free will is a big deal for God, right? Choice, human choice is a big deal for God. Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and then rose again 3 days later, and all of that sets up this beautiful choice that all of humanity has to choose God, to choose life with God, to choose salvation like Laura did this morning in baptism. It was incredible to see a new creation first thing this morning. What an awesome thing. We can choose life. But he also sets it up to where we get to choose not God, right? You can choose God, or you can choose not God. You don't have to choose him. It's your choice. We aren't robots. So what if, just go with me here, what if Jesus called out to this dead man, "I say to you, arise." What if the boy had said no? What if he had chosen not to? What if he had chosen to continue on in death? To leave his mother hopeless and homeless? To leave behind the life that he had lived on planet Earth and to stay where he was, to hear the command and the voice of God to rise up and to disobey it and to not do it. Sounds absurd, doesn't it? That thought has probably never even entered your brain because it sounds so ridiculous that Jesus could call someone from death to life and they would be like, "No, I'm good. I'm fine. I'd rather stay dead right here, right now." We have some incredible interns this summer. Krista and Brent, there they are. They're in the room. I'm going to get them to come up here this summer. Every summer, we're blessed as a church and as a youth ministry to have awesome interns. You may remember Brent Hall. He was with us last summer. He's coming back, making a return tour. And then we have Krista Jenkins, who most of you know. She grew up here, and we're honored that she would want to come back here and serve our church and serve our youth group. And so I'm going to have them come up here in. They've got a couple of signs here, and I just want to illustrate this real quickly here. Krista drew this, by the way, not me. This is not my artwork. So before you get too excited, let me just give her credit for this. This is me. This is you. This is us. All right? You got the picture? This is, we're right here. On this side, we have Brent, who is representing death. Really sorry about that. He got the bad job. And then over here, we have Krista, who is got the life sign, so she got to enjoy that, which is really awesome. And then right here in the middle, I'm just gonna hang us right here on the wire, and I want to just real quickly help you think about this, right? As absurd as it sounds for me to suggest that the boy could hear the command, the call of Jesus to rise up from the dead and to say no and to stay dead, as absurd as that sounds, I think the truth and the reality of the situation is that you and I do this so often. Probably for a lot of us in the room, at one time we heard the voice and the call of Jesus, and we chose life, didn't we? Just like Laura this morning, we saw that, but we also lived that, and we did that, and we chose life. And I'll just speak for me. You can decide if this is you or not. I won't speak for you. But I know for me, after I chose life, it wasn't too long before I came over here right back to death. And I started going back to the things that were dragging me down, into death. Isn't it crazy that we can experience life and then we can come right back and crawl right back into the coffin of death? We can hear the voice of God calling us to life, but there's a voice of another, and we choose to listen, and we lean that way. Or we try to live right here in the middle. I've got a picture somewhere. I couldn't find it for this morning, but you'll get the idea. A couple of years ago, we took our family to Mexico, and as we're coming back across the border, there's a big plaque on the wall, and it says, "This is the literal border between Mexico and the United States of America." And so I got a picture of my son, Will. He's got one foot in Mexico, and he's got one foot in the U.S., and I snapped a snapshot of that. I was like, that's really cool. That's amazing. You're like in two places at once, in two countries. How cool is that? You're not even five. You're living in two worlds, right? You and I know that may make for a really pretty picture, but that's an impossible reality to live in. You can't live with one foot in Mexico and one foot in the United States, okay? If you walk that border, it's a pretty lonely, deserted place, I'm pretty sure. There's a lot of fencing and a lot of guards and other things. There's no restaurants, there's no hotels, there's no bathrooms. I mean, it's just a long line, but it's not where you live. That's not a line where you live, that's a line that you cross, right? But so many of us try to live right here in the middle, between death and life. And I think what Jesus would say, he would say, drop the rope, you know? In fact, I think he would say, there is no rope. I think he would say, come alive. It's an uprising he's after. Come live in life and stop crawling back into the coffin. When that boy came alive, you hear what it said? He sat up, he talked, and then awestruck, everyone praised God. When you rise up from the dead, you rise up in worship. So many of us, okay, I'll say it for me. So often, I experience life, I taste and see that the Lord is good, and not a minute later, I step back towards living in death. And that is no life at all. Thank you, guys. So this morning, what I really want to suggest, and what I want to call you to, is to come alive, to drop the rope, to let go of trying to live in two worlds. Man, for these seniors this morning, man, you guys are about to experience a new kind of life, a new chapter of life, a new phase of life. And God's gonna do an amazing thing through each of you. I believe it with all of my heart. But at the center of all that has to be life and not death. Too many people in your shoes at this moment walk away from church and walk away from God, and they walk right into death. And it's appealing and it's attractive, but it's no life at all. And God is calling you. He's calling us, right, church, to life, to come alive. If you would stand with me. In Ephesians 5:14, you'll find these words of Paul. He stole them from Isaiah, and it was a song the early church sang. Anytime there was a baptism, and I wish we knew the melody so we could have sung it this morning when we witnessed it ourselves. But the verse goes like this: awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Man, when you come alive, you come alive, you come to worship. And that's the gospel. Jesus didn't come from heaven to earth, down a cross, be raised again 3 days later, because you were bad and he wanted to make you better. He came because you were dead and he wanted to make you alive. He came because you and your sin were an enemy of God and he wanted to make you a friend of God. And this morning, man, that's the call. So if you're in the room and maybe you heard that voice at one time and you've started walking back this way towards death, man, if you want to, man, we can pray about that this morning. And there's always people in the back who will pray with you. Or maybe it's the first time and you're like, man, I've never done that. I've never responded to the voice of Jesus to come alive, and I want to do that. Man, let's talk and let's pray about that too. This is the heartbeat, I believe, of Jesus. In every situation he steps into, he's always calling us back to life. Let's sing.